there are so many amazing opportunities here and benefits that they can explain to you, whether that's excellent health care or paying for college or even a bonus for some of the positions that we really need help with right now. They'll lay all those opportunities out there for you and give you the option to pick what you think is best suited for your level of interest and your future.
Welcome back, Black Snakes, to another podcast. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser, and
I am Second Lieutenant Elizabeth Rogers, and I am co-hosting for today.
On air with us today is a team that has been working over the last few years actively to keep fighters in the fort. They have played pivotal roles on the base, but now they are helping our base convert from A-10s to F-16s, working behind the scenes with all their experience, expertise, and you never know what they're doing. Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Stoner, Senior Master Sergeant Wes Shear, thank you for coming on the show today, sharing with us the conversion team, what you guys are doing, spearheading, switching the 122nd to F-16s from our favorite A-10 attack aircraft that we love so much. Wow, thank you. You guys have gotten us pretty far.
Thanks. We're excited to be here and happy to be talking about this. There's a lot going on base right now, and we're happy to share what's going on behind the scenes for all of those changes.
I'm excited too to hear both of you brag about yourself, because if anyone knows either of you, you guys don't talk much about yourself. So this is your time to shine. Colonel Stoner, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can kick it off into the conversion updates?
Sure. I grew up in Michigan and was fortunate enough to get a pilot training slot with the Battle Creek Air National Guard in 2002 and to A-10 school from there. I've been an A-10 pilot for 19 years and am now pretty excited to get an opportunity to fly the F-16 and challenge myself as an old man in military terms and tackle something new. I've been a Black Snake since 2011. I came here when we were converting from the F-16 to the A-10, so now things have gone full circle as we go back to the F-16, and I'm in charge of running portions of that conversion right now and keeping things on track.
That's awesome. Sergeant Shear?
Yes, so I was born and raised in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've actually served over 20 years here at Fort Wayne. I did my first enlistment with CE for 6 years. And then in 2009, when we converted to the A-10, I transferred over to Avionics Flight Line. And from there, I worked as a flight line technician for 10 years and then took a role as the Avionics Section Chief in 2019. So that's what I've been doing since I took this new role of conversion office. So.
That's awesome. How do you guys even start with the conversion?
It's a pretty big task.
Right.
And fortunately, when the conversion is identified and we know it's going to start, there's a team that comes to visit, a SATAF team. And they'll show up with representatives from ACC, Headquarters Air Force, ATC, and National Guard Bureau, so that we have representatives from all over the military with tons of experience to say, here's what we think Fort Wayne is going to need to make this transition. Those representatives look at everything here on base, from our maintenance needs to our ops needs to shipping and receiving and equipment needs, and really identify where they think we're going to need the most support. So there's a lot of teamwork that goes into initially tackling what seems like a really big chore. After that, we kind of take the results from that report and start working away on the bigger things to order what we need, and then it really becomes self-help after that. As we get people trained and we begin building experience with the F-16 or whatever it is, you know, project-wise that we're all tasked to work on, we identify needs and shortfalls, and then we funnel those up to the right people to get more support and make sure that we're tackling things. Right now, we've set a lot of goals and objectives that are going to help us get to our combat readiness and our end of conversion state. And those also help guide us to what we need in order to be combat ready in 2026.
What were some of those big items that we had to shift to after that SATAF team came in and told us all the things we had to do?
Some of them started with a permanent barrier for the runways. The F-16 requires a set of cables at each end of the runway in case of an emergency. And we unfortunately took those out when we went from F-16s to A-10s, and now we need them back. And that's one of the longest poles in the tent right now because the contracting process to get those has expired for the Guard, and they have to be requested through the presidential budget. So there's years of kind of timeline to get those physically here and get them installed. So that was one of the big ones. There's a lot of construction projects around the base that are required for new aircraft and new mission sets. So you'll see CE really working hard right now to lay out plans for all of those new buildings, whether it's reconstruction or new construction, in order to house everything that we need. And then I think the biggest piece that we really had to dive into early was the training piece for all of our people. So it doesn't matter if you're in ops or maintenance or other positions around base, we've all got a lot of new things to learn and tackle as we get prepared to be combat ready in the F-16.
I think from my perspective, the biggest thing is we don't know what we don't know, and communication with other units and finding out what we need is a big thing. The SATEF is what it is, and we do create an action item list of items that we need to work on here at Fort Wayne, but there's a lot of things that aren't on that action item list that other bases tell us we need. So communicating with Toledo, South Dakota, all those other units that are already F-16 bases, that's a big player.
It sounds like they gave you the start and the finish, and you guys got to figure out the middle is what it kind of sounds like. Good luck.
Yeah, I'd say that's very accurate right now. And I think that we're a unique conversion as well. You know, most of the conversions that are being worked on right now are conversions to the F-35. So when we started conversion to the F-16, that hadn't been done in quite a long time. And the background expertise in that has, you know, been left on a bookshelf somewhere. So it really did become self-help for us once we got started to identify what we needed to continue. And it's been challenging, to say the least, when we identify things that haven't been thought about and we have to find a way to procure them. It can be tough.
Creative.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of the factors that like contributed into the decision of the conversion? We're just tired of the A-10, let's switch. Like, is that how it works? Someone had a good idea? I think that goes above and beyond us, but I wasn't sure if you had any background.
We absolutely do. I think that, you know, General Stoller started working on this initiative a long time ago, and it was very forward-thinking of him, because this conversion isn't necessarily about an airframe as much as it is sustainment for the future of the Fort Wayne Air National Guard base. We need to convert for future relevance. We need to stay in the fighter mission for years to come. And that's the objective of this conversion right now. The Air Force has made it clear that they would really like to divest the A-10 and get rid of it completely as an airframe. So us moving on to the F-16 allows us to secure that fighter mission and then prepare for the next fighter mission. And to be honest, that should be one of the things that our leadership is now focused on. Hey, we've secured and started this F-16 conversion. Let's now start looking at the next opportunity. Because if we're not forward thinking and you know, pushing for the F-35 or the next generation fighter, then we might find ourselves in a position like a few other units right now who are not going to have another follow-on mission after the A-10 or maybe go to a cyber wing or something like that. So the conversion is a good thing for the future of the 122nd.
I know, I appreciate that. As someone that wants to serve and is still actively serving, I have a job to do that. So I appreciate our forethought that the leadership has. Even if I don't have it at my level, someone else does, and that's why they get the big bucks. Bases change aircraft. What does that look like in how we operate, or maybe our culture changes a little bit? What have you seen?
There will certainly be changes here in how we operate with changes in airframe, just due to changes in different mission types and how we execute. But I think one of the biggest shifts that we need to see right now culturally is that we're going from an Air Force who is going to participate in coin operations, the fight that we've seen in the Middle East here recently, to now a peer-level fight with someone like China, where risk is going to be a lot higher and acceptable levels of risk are going to have to increase. Mission assurance is going to be challenged in major ways that we haven't seen. So the shift right now isn't necessarily airframe dependent. It is what the threat is right now and what we're trying to protect, you know, the United States and the country from. I think that'll be one of the biggest mindset changes that we all need to embrace and really start pushing for as we go through this conversion. And this conversion is a good way for us to, you know, make that shift and change that focus and really encourage our people to push forward and move on.
Would you explain that COIN acronym for people who may not be familiar with it?
COIN is counterinsurgency. That is what our main focus was for the time that we spent in the Middle East over the last several decades. And we're now moving to what we call MCO, or major combat operations, that are going to involve more force on force and larger scale integration than anything we've seen in a long time.
I like that culture shift you mentioned. It's not around an airframe. It's around your mindset. And you got to be able to keep up with a world that's ever changing, technology more and more at our fingertips. So both of you working together, what's that dynamic like to get the mission done?
It's, I think, the standard officer enlisted relationship. I come up with a lot of really good ideas, and then I pretend to be super busy. And then Wes drives me around, and he does all the hard work and really nice. Gets the job done. So, that's kind of the way I see it.
Do a lot of bag carrying and hotel reservations and restaurant reservation.
Okay, bookings. Very nice. Yeah. How do you get everyone involved? You know, you come up with a good idea, sir. You actually do the work, Wes. How do you get other people involved?
We're pretty lucky right now that we've got an awesome team. Each squadron or flight here on base has identified someone who is their counterpart or their POC for conversions. So we host regular meetings with those people. We all sit down and talk about each issue or each project that those sections are working on. And everybody sits through to listen to what they're saying so that everyone has a good idea on what's going on around base. We hope that those POCs then go back and talk to their peers and their commanders and keep them informed on what's going on, not only in their areas, but around base, and share the message on where we are with conversion.
Essentially, everyone gets a voice at the table, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
You got to use it if you're...
Yeah, I would like to reiterate that the team that is in charge of this conversion, it's not just Lieutenant Colonel Stoner and I. It's also every commander on every part of this base that's sitting in these meetings and making decisions for their sections and making decisions for this base as a whole. So that team is very strong, and we do work very well together.
Yeah. As a few offices you wouldn't think you work with other than... On the maintenance side of the house, I just realized this. You're talking CE, you brought them up.
LRS.
Yeah.
Finance,
FSS, manpower.
When we change, they're changing too. Like their office dynamics change too, and they get a lot of the work as well. I appreciated learning that side of it. Not that we're bored over in maintenance, right? We're trying to tackle other things, but, you know, maybe the base sees we're bored. No. We're not, but they're not either. Like, they're definitely getting the work handed to them, too.
Yeah, I believe that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we may not see in our individual shops. You know, finance, for example, all the requests that we have for new equipment or all the new buildings that CE needs to buy or you name it, those requests, all those resources have to come through finance. So they are extremely busy right now requesting that money, receiving it, and then putting it in the right allocation.
Right.
Shipping and receiving and LRS is the same way right now. All of the new F-16 equipment that we're receiving doesn't just go right to the shop that needs it. It all has to go through material management and be accounted for and then distributed. And it's the same thing with a lot of the organizations on base. Security Forces is really working hard right now as well. The uptick in the amount of equipment that's, coming into the base and leaving the base is significant, and that's more vehicle inspections, more escorts required, more oversight. And with the new construction going on, again, you know, they sometimes have to open up additional gates and do additional work. So there's a lot of hustle going around that we really appreciate.
Right. Are we lucky in the sense of, do we have any continuity from when we had F-16s before and went to the A-10s, that those members are still here? In the Guard, we're pretty unique in that situation.
We are, but there are some, but the majority is new.
Okay.
New airmen. And some people, there are a few. There are a handful.
Yeah, a few that are willing to share their knowledge before they take it out the door with
and
them.
With that, there's so many differences in the block that we used to have than what we have now. And some of the stuff is still familiar, the big picture items, but the little nuances of the blocks that change, like the engines and avionics packages like that, they're very different. So,
do you think this creates a level playing field across the base for us to all learn again and build each other up?
I do, and I was going to talk about that as well. This is a really good time for people that want to join to really level the playing field with people that you think are subject matter experts. They know just as much as you do starting this out. So whether you're a brand new airman or you've worked on an airplane for 20 years, it's kind of everybody's learning together. Everybody has to become a team and really conquer this new training with this aircraft.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine the obstacles you guys are facing in trying to tackle this. I mean, you got the front end and the back end, figure out the middle kind of thing.
Yeah, we've talked about culture a little bit already and cultural shifts. But one thing that I hope doesn't shift is the Black Snake pride that we have and how mission-oriented this unit is, how well we work together as a team. This is by far the best unit that I've ever worked with. It's the best job that I've ever had, to be quite honest with you. And I love the culture that we all share. Whether that is, you know, the experiences that we have when we deploy to combat together or we go to TDY together or even just working back here, the Black Snakes are a team that is unrivaled in my opinion. So I hope that continues. And we do get the mission done constantly, and we've been recognized for that many times. So
I would probably have the best job too if I got to wear pajamas every day to work.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is pretty comfortable. It's a little hot right now in here, but otherwise we're good.
So in changing to the F-16s, keeping fighters in the fort, is there something the base might not know is being done to benefit them? Our leadership is thinking long term.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from this conversion right now. At the ground level, a lot of us just see the challenge that conversion brings and the hard work it's going to take to be combat ready here in the next couple of years. I think the unacknowledged piece of that gets back to the sustainable future for the unit and the work that's going into ensuring that we're flying fighters and we have a relevant mission and people have that satisfaction in their job knowing that they're making a difference in the world with what they're doing.
Yeah.
So while we don't discuss that piece of it too much, that's definitely the background to why we're doing what we're doing right now.
Yeah, sometimes it's just hard to check a box and you don't know where you fit into the bigger picture. But when you hear all these teams that you guys have worked with to make this happen, those are some pretty big boxes to check. I mean, whether I turn in my dental form or not, well, then I can't come to drill. You don't get paid. Like, there is a ripple effect, and it does affect you. But it's just nice to hear what people are doing matters. The training they're doing does matter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For people that maybe don't have as much to do because they're waiting on the equipment to come in that they need to work on, or they're waiting for a process to finish so that they can start their process, what would you say is the biggest thing for them to take away from this?
We really need to get back to the focus on us being ready to go to combat, and that combat focus needs to be on a peer level threat, something that we have rarely pushed ourselves hard enough to really understand and train to. So right now, while you're waiting for things to happen, now's the opportunity to dig into some things that you may not have looked at in a while, as far as your own personal readiness for combat.
And I want to emphasize that there is an ability to help others that need help. You may not have the specific knowledge to do the job, but you can help move equipment. You can help TMO move stuff around. It's just using that as an example, but there are things that you can do on this base to help if you find yourself bored or have nothing to do.
Listen, I'm trying to the shirts are ready to be MCAs. Let's go. I want to drive a forklift. I will go move heavy stuff. I will loan you my muscles, whatever you need. Let's do this.
There's a lot of good talk right now about MCA, multi-capable airmen.
I'm down.
And what that means. And this is a good opportunity as we maybe change positions on the Manning document and identify new needs for people to cross-train to something that they've been wanting to do for a while, or identify an additional duty that maybe they've been thinking about and haven't picked up to this point, so that we can all, you know, pitch in and do things that aren't related to necessarily our AFSC, but something we might be interested in and can therefore be very productive with. I had a good conversation recently about multi-capable airmen and the ACE concept for the Air Force, and there was a good reference to the Marine Corps. You know, everyone in the Marine Corps is a rifleman, no matter what, and then they have a job after that. So no matter what happens, whether they're a pilot or a fuels guy or a logistic person, they can all pick up a rifle and defend the base or, do what they need to do to continue the mission when things get heated. And we all need to kind of look at things that way as we talk about this peer level fight. We all need to be ready to do things that we might not be trained for or feel like we're really good at when we start looking forward to the future.
Yeah, I agree. Remind me, our ramp didn't just sit empty when we were waiting for more iron to come. Like, we helped other bases too. Like, we weren't sitting stagnant either, just checking other boxes.
Correct.
I mean, Age was still doing air show support. Crew chiefs were still doing jets when heavies were coming in. I mean, we were still actively participating too in the middle of a conversion. What did that look like for you guys?
We were unique again in the sense of our conversion that we had A-10s on the ramp until August, and we got our first F-16s in October, and that was a very small window. Some conversions go 9 months to a year without any aircraft sitting around, so we did have a bit of an expedited timeline that way. But in those small windows where there weren't aircraft or only a small number of aircraft, you'll see CE out there really working away at improving the ramp, painting new taxi lines, repairing concrete, you know, doing things that will really help the future mission and ensure that we're ready to go when more airplanes do show up. And then we have a lot of people, whether it's pilots or maintenance, who are qualified initially, our initial cadre, and they did go out to other units, farmed out to either conduct their own training or assist at other places.
Hopefully they can do all the maintenance when it's warm out, not in the middle of winter. So what's one thing I haven't asked, or maybe something that's going exceptionally well that you didn't even expect that you would like to share?
I think that I'd definitely like to push the word out that the conversion is going really well. We are meeting the timelines that we talked about. We have a lot of people working extremely hard to measure our progress and ensure that we're on track. And I'm happy with where we sit that way. I think that there's opportunity for us to continue to share the positive things and the accomplishment that is going on around base right now. And maybe there's another opportunity for me to do that. I don't know that we have really pushed the message out to the base as much as we can about how successful we've been and where we are with conversion right now. So I wouldn't mind having an opportunity to do that at some point, to specifically address all the hard work that's going on and the goals that we're meeting to this point.
So come back for part two.
And I think we found a new host, Sir, Colonel Stoner's going to help us start hosting podcasts now and doing interviews.
Awesome. I can't wait. Wes just told me before we came in here that I have a face for radio, so I think that this is maybe my future.
Last two questions. Does a new airframe mean different jobs, different opportunities? Are we hiring? Like, how can you help? I have heard that around base.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. With a new mission, there's, you know, new change.
Right.
Yeah, and our manning document will shift a little bit as we put people in the right positions to support new requirements. So there is definitely opportunity out here. If you're an existing member, now's a really good time to cross-train to that job you've really wanted to do if you're not currently in it. So talk to your shop chiefs about that and see what opportunities exist, because there is a shuffle going on right now. If you're looking to join the unit, there are a lot of awesome opportunities. Like Wes said earlier, we're kind of re-leveling as we all learn a new mission, and now's a great time to join and help us out in that learning process. Bring some new experience, bring a new perspective, and help us along with this process. I can tell you that right now, there are a lot of positions available in avionics. Emergency management is hiring right now, looking for people. Security forces always needs additional manpower. The command post has opportunities. Material management, we talked about how busy LRS is right now with shipping and receiving. They've got some great opportunities out there. And even on the pilot side, you know, with many of us, you know, conversion is a time to assess where you are in your career. There are a few guys that are a little bit older than me that decided, hey, I'm at my 20 and getting a little bit older. Now's a good time for me to hang it up. So we had some retirements, and that's an opportunity for young people to come in. So on the pilot side, we're looking for new hires right now as well, and even experienced F-16 pilots. We need those around right now for training and safety too, so we're looking to hire that way.
That's awesome. So tell a friend, bring a friend, bring
Absolutely.
Them on out.
Absolutely, tell a friend. And I know that there are, you know, possibly reservations about going to talk to a recruiter. You know, everybody's heard a horror story here and there about getting forced into an awkward situation and signing up for something you may not have, you know, really wanted to but were pressured into. And I can tell you that's not the case here at the 122nd with our recruiters. There are so many amazing opportunities here and benefits that they can explain to you and walk you through the process on what things will look like, whether that's excellent health care or paying for college or even a bonus for some of the positions that we really need help with right now. They'll lay all those opportunities out there for you and give you the option to pick what you think is best suited for your level of interest and your future. So I wouldn't hesitate to come down and have a conversation with them without feeling like you're going to get pressured into doing something you don't want to do.
Yeah, I'm definitely biased when it comes to our 122nd recruiters. I do. I think they're on top of the game. I can't thank you both enough for coming on the show today, Colonel Stoner, Sergeant Shear. Thank you so much again for your time today, giving us the big picture behind the scenes of what you guys are doing, all your experience in the past to keep fighters in the fort. Black Snakes, what a unique strategic level episode on how we all fit into the bigger picture at the base, what conversion is doing for us all. Please share the show. We want this to be the fastest growing military podcast out there, and it's because of people like you. Storm Hell.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.